This passage today is probably the hardest passage in all of the Bible. Now you ready to listen? That's why we've broken it up in two parts. It may be three. In fact, I forgot to even bring a watch up here, so you may be in trouble. And we may not get even through this message today, but it is one of the most difficult passages in all of the New Testament, not the Bible. And so as I got studying it and getting into it, I thought, wow, well, there's no way I can get it all in. And so we're just going to trust that God is going to illuminate our hearts. And with all the differences that people teach about this passage, we'll grab one main thing. We need to be praying people. And there are times we need to go to others and say, I'm not doing well. I'm failing. I'm weak. I'm frail. I need you to pray for me. Because Satan is just waiting to snatch you. Oh, he can never snatch me. People say, oh, yes, he can. And prayer helps us to endure. I read this story this week where one of the preachers of old was reading about a story or telling a story of a good friend of his who was a hunter who loved to go out and hunt. And he'd get up early in the morning. He was out there early one morning and just kind of taking in God's nature. And he was watching and he noticed that suddenly these hounds started chasing after a fawn. And this fawn was running as fast as it possibly could. And the man knew that there was no hope that these bloodthirsty hounds are going to catch this fawn. And the fawn turned and began to run towards this man who was watching it in the wee hours of the morning. And the fawn stopped about 10 feet from him. And he's just watching this. And here come the hounds. Whatever hounds do. And finally, the fawn came and got behind this man and stuck his body in between his legs. And this man watching all of a sudden got filled with, wow. This fawn came to me. You're not touching this fawn. And he picked up the little fawn and held it in his hands. And sure enough, the hounds came closer and closer and started to attack. He said he started just turning in circles and picking that little fawn's legs and doing this in front of the hounds. And finally, those hounds took off running. And the man said this, I felt just then that all the dogs in the West could not and should not capture that fawn after its weakness appealed to my strength. Wow. What a description of prayer. Our weakness appeals to the strength of Almighty God. And there we are being chased by the hounds, being chased by our burdens, being chased by our sin, being chased by our weaknesses, being chased by our worries, just constant, every day bombarded, and how we need to run in between the legs and into the arms of Jesus and appeal to the strength of the Almighty because we are helpless. Wow. What a great description of prayer. And that's what prayer is. We're appealing to God's strength, not to get what we want. Most of the time, all we pray for is what I want, what I want, what I want. We pray for God's glory, and we pray for the will of God to be done in this world. And James has been talking here in this passage about enduring. When life is hard, when life is so painful. When Amanda called me yesterday, just crying, couldn't hardly get any words out. And my dad's had a heart attack. They've been working on him for 30 minutes. Oh, the pain. And you just want to reach the phone and take the pain away, but you can't. And then he passed away. After many of you have been praying for a long time for Charlie. A lot of us have. And life hurts and life is full of suffering. And James says, God gives us no excuse to ever quit. He gives us no excuse to ever stop enduring. Our culture gives us all kinds of excuses. Just quit. Just stop enduring. God never gives us that. However, God does give us a way to endure, and it's in the next passage as we see, 13 to whatever we get through today. And what seems absolutely impossible is to endure when life hurts beyond description. It is impossible, but not with God. So James just begins, I think he continues this thought of enduring much more than any physical healing that he's talking about. And he says, here's how you endure life. You run into the arms of your Savior and pray and pray and pray. The seemingly impossible made possible to endure through going to a God who is amazing and awesome. And he's just always standing there like this. We run away, right? We don't have time for God. We have time for our Facebook games. We have time for our sports. We have time for our hobbies. We have time for our jobs. We have time for everything. But we just can't seem to discipline ourselves to run into the arms of the one with tears in his eyes just says, come to me, little fawn. Come. I'm the one that helps you endure. No, I think I'd rather try this. Anybody guilty? My hand's up. My hand's up. Don't you love James? Richard's just thrilled that I extended it one more week. Maybe two. But oh, it's so good when you realize who Jesus is and there's grace to help. Point one today, verse 13. Pray no matter what your insides are experiencing. How many of you have insides? My stomach's a little hurting today, but that's not emotional. That's just something physical. I ate meat yesterday. That's what I'm attributing. I don't like meat that much, but I did eat it. It was good, though. I don't know. Whatever. I'm talking about the invisible inside. Pray no matter what your insides are experiencing. Look at verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him go to the mall and buy something nice so you'll feel better. Is anyone suffering? Rearrange your furniture. That's always a refreshing thing. You walk in, hey, this is cool. The furniture's refreshed. And Jesus is opening an arms. No, you come to me. Is anyone among you suffering? Go get alcohol. Well, you'll forget it. I asked the guys in the jail, why do you guys get drunk? You know what they said? To escape. It was amazing how many people just randomly in the jail just to escape. Is that God's answer? Is anyone suffering? Have you screwed your life up so bad and had the fruits of it? Or is it just suffering that came by no choosing of your own? Let him pashukamai, pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him have a frowning face and say, my God is so good. Let him sing praise. Now, James already told us the wrong way to suffer, didn't he? We attack others, right? He talked about that. Don't attack others when you're suffering. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't stop serving. Don't stop loving. He's already told us how not to do it. Here's the safeguard. Pray. You can't attack others if you develop in your life praying first. You can't do other sins if you develop in your life praying. I like what this one person said. In all cases in which the mind is greatly agitated, whether painfully or pleasantly, whether by sorrow, anger, regret, or by joy, pleasure, or hope, the wise thing to do is to take refuge in an act of worship. Refuge is a place of safety. So when you're agitated or joyful, whatever it is, find God's refuge and participate in an act of worship to God. And that's foreign to a lot of us. We don't know what that is. We fail in suffering when we focus on what? Me and my circumstances. And forget that I have a sovereign God who is over everything. It's not the what, but the who that we focus on. And this is amazing because, you know, what a rebuke it is to me. Had a couple of guys, was it this week, that came to our door. I was in my office. I think I was on the phone with my mom. She had called me and was giving me my sermons for Sunday. No, I'm just kidding. So, sorry. And so all I heard was, Dad! 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 You know, these guys come, and one of them didn't have their shirt on, and they had been working on a roof just down the road a ways, and so I'm on the phone, so I'm ignoring them. I'm on the phone. So I finally come out there, still on the phone, and hold it a minute, Mom. You're on point three of the message? Hold on. Okay. But I asked them what they were doing, and anyway, short story, they were working and got hot, and couldn't get a ride, and I let them use my phone, and finally I took them to their house and handed them a church card, and I said, well, you knocked on the door of a pastor, because they said, we knocked on all these doors, nobody helped us. I said, well, you actually got a pastor, and they said, oh, God bless you. Well, thank you. But anyway, and so here they are. You know, I drive them to their house, only like 5 minutes away or so, 10 minutes maybe. And I had the website. I said, check that website out and so forth. And gave them some water. And then as soon as they got out of the car, I pulled around to leave. And I kicked myself. Why didn't I pray with them? There really wasn't a whole lot of time to get into, you know, the gospel. And the one guy, he was kind of sick feeling. He had asthma. But I thought, I could have. And I just got done studying this in my office, you know, the Monday, Tuesday, and a few minutes before. I went, will I ever get it? At least, are you in trouble? Hey, guys, can I pray with you? Stupid. So I'm not preaching to you today like, look at me, I'm perfect. Man, I struggle like everybody. James says, anything in your inside that's troubled, pray. This Greek word suffering means hard times, struggles, afflictions, dejection, anything that's painful. And there are two imperatives in the Greek here, and you see them in verse 13. The first, these are commands. You must pray and you must sing. I like the word for sing is psaleto. It's our word for the Psalms. Now, we don't say psalms, although the Greeks, psaleto, you know, turn to psalms. But it's sing. I like what Calvin said. This verse, there is no time in which God does not invite us to himself. Isn't that cool? There is no time, whatever's going on in your insides, where God does not invite you to come to him. Come to me. What a great thing. You picture that fawn running away from those bloodhounds and just coming and recognizing that, hey, here's a guy. Hey, buddy. Safety and strength. Now, notice nowhere in this passage does it say your trouble goes away. Nowhere in this passage does it say, well, we're going to get to where you'll be raised up, but it doesn't say that God's going to fix a circumstance, and that's next week. So command one, pray when you're troubled and suffering. We talk a lot about prayer, but do we really pray? Ooh, that kind of stings, doesn't it? Yeah, it stings. If there's one thing in my Christian life that if you had to say, what do you not have a full handle on that you know you need to get a better grip of it, you know what my answer would be? Prayer. There's a little bit of mystery to it, isn't it? But there's a little bit of simplicity to it. James doesn't get into all the details. He just says, basically, you're the fawn. You're being chased. Go to the Father. Are you in trouble? Pray. Let me ask you a question. When you face trials and troubles, what's your initial response? That's one of the questions on the supplement you're going to take today. What is your initial normal pattern response when you first hear of trouble? You'll get to answer that and share with your group this week. That should be interesting. Because my normal pattern isn't always on the phone. Could you hold it just a minute? I've got to go pray. And that doesn't mean that there's not times when news is so bad, but there's not that initial heartbreaking and tears. And then as we're into it, we begin to pray. I'm not saying that we're robots. But what is our normal habitual action when we do what James says, when we face sufferings? Do you attack others? Do you immediately get irritable to your wife, your husband, your kids, the dog, your coworkers, your neighbors, your co-shoppers, those shopping next to you? Yeah, co-shoppers, that's good. Maybe it's going to a drug, taking a drug, alcohol. I just got to get away. Do you throw something? Buy yourself something nice? Give up and give in? Just go get under the covers and say, I can't take it? Believe God doesn't care about your problems? Panic and lose control? What is our normal action? You know what James says it ought to be for a real faith? Are you suffering? Pray. It's a command too. Pray. So learn to stop and travel to the throne of grace. To find what? Help in the time of need. If you lived back when Jesus lived, AD 30, 31, 33, in there, and you were troubled, where would you go? If you lived where Jesus walked way back then, and you were agitated and had a hard time and trouble, where would you go? You know what you'd do? If you were real faith, you'd pass Oprah. You'd be walking from your house. You'd pass the little, where they sell camels, you know, and all the marketplace, and you wouldn't see anything. And you'd see Oprah there with her roadside psychiatry service. You'd pass Oprah right up, man. She'd say, hey, come back. I'll tell you how to get on an alien ship someday where we're all going. No, I don't need that. Yeah, she said that. Oh, there's Dr. Phil. And I got to admit, sometimes I kind of like what Dr. Phil says. I like how, you know, he just, listen here now, or whatever he says. But you pass Dr. Phil, you wouldn't even call me on the phone. Would you? Where would you go? Jesus, right? You'd go right to Jesus. You'd go past the hospital counseling center. You'd go right past the latest women's journal ad or article that how to live a full life. You'd go right to Jesus. You know what's happened in our day? Now listen carefully. I've seen it for the last 22 years. We in America have been brainwashed. In our culture, we have been convinced that God can't handle those problems. God is not big enough to handle what's going on inside of us. And the hospitals and the doctors have taken the place of Jesus, the wonderful counselor, the everlasting Father, the mighty God. Now, I'm not saying there's never a time when people may need that. That's between you and God. But even if a person does take medicine, they still must obey James 5:13. Are you hurting deep inside? Pray. But we have been brainwashed that only Jesus takes care of certain problems, but the doctor takes care of those deep down depressions. And they used to call it in the 1700s melancholy. David Brainerd, great missionary of God, fought melancholy, but he continued to serve and he continued to love God and was used mightily. We've convinced that there's no help with God. No help with God. And we want out of every burden, don't we? Don't you want out of that when you feel bad? Yeah, sure. Be honest. I don't want to feel bad. I don't have my heart aching. And we want to take something and we want to stop it. But you know what happens when we do that? We miss what God's doing in our life. And we never grow. We never get stronger. We never bring more glory to God because we're always just taking something and doing something. I want to stop the pain on the inside. Listen carefully. You're going to think I'm nuts. Sometimes God wants you to experience pain on the inside. What did Paul say? When I'm weak, then I am strong, because that brings me to his throne. When you're in trouble, pray. I like what somebody said. Prayer brings a real connection between worship and life. Not just asking for things or asking for God to get us out of trouble. It connects Monday with God and Tuesday with God and Wednesday with God. And is that your life? Or are you just Sunday in God? Lord, enjoyed it today. I'll see you next Sunday. And God goes, oh, this is awesome. I can't wait to see you on Sunday. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. And he calls, Gabriel, put your horn down and get over here. Brother Tim's going to see us next Sunday. But this connects Monday with Jesus and Tuesday and Wednesday. Is that not our big problem? I think it is, many times. My problem. Not just saying, God, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. Not just seeing God as a genie in the bottle. Oh, God, I'm in trouble. Do, 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 do. Oh, yes. And Jesus just pops out, you know, and he ain't wearing what that genie wore. But anyway, you know, Jesus pops out and said, yes, master, what do you want? Now, be honest, isn't that how we treat Jesus sometimes? He calls us master, right? Anybody guilty? Satan got you? You listening? Yeah. I'm guilty. It's not. Jesus never says, yes, master. We say, master. But so many times, God's just a genie. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my neighbor's mouth. Whoop. I will bless the Lord at all times. What times? Verse 13. Suffering. I will speak well of God at all times. His praise shall continually be in whose mouth? My mouth. Connecting worship and prayer and singing with Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Because when does life happen? Do all of you get most of our prayer requests on Sunday or when? Yeah, it happens. And by the way, we're going to set up a hotline. And we don't have it ready this week because there are some urgent prayer requests we need to get on the phone. Because who knows when you're going to check your email, right? So be thinking about that. If you'd like to be a part of that, we're going to have that out next week to where, you know, you call one person because, and the other person calls. And because something like yesterday, you know, who knows when you're going to check your email. So, but it happens during the week, doesn't it? Not just on Sundays. So James, first of all, says, are you in any kind of hardship? Develop this pattern in your life. Stop and travel to the throne of grace and stay there at the throne of grace, however long you need to stay there to get God's raising up, which we'll see next week or in the next 2 weeks. Look at the second command. You're going to love this one. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Cheerful here means good spirits when your heart is glad. So James is saying again, go to the throne no matter what's going on your inside. We can go to God at all times. Cheerful, sad, broken, lifted up. Singing and jumping and leaping for joy. Broken and laying on our face in despair. There's never a time that we cannot run to His arms. And James says, when you're cheerful, pray. Now remember the context, what these people are going through. Do you find it's easy to forget God when all's going well? If we sing and is well with my soul and your stocks just came in and you're a millionaire, you know, or your dad just died, which one are you going to feel closer to God? And more of a broken heart, more of a tender heart? Not wrong that you can't praise God if the other happens. But sometimes when things are going well, I don't need to pray. I don't need to go to the throne of grace. I got this one. Because really when we don't pray, we're really saying, I can handle it. Take a break, Lord. Take a vacation, Lord. Go camping. Go to Mars and go camping. He can go wherever he wants. He made it. Right? Lord, I got this one. You better deal with... who can I pick on here? You better deal with Tim Denton this week. You can take a vacation from my life. Right? Guilty. James sees music as a natural way of pleasing God and expressing what's going on in our hearts. There's just something about music that enables us to express what's going on, isn't there? There's just something about music that goes to that deep place in us. Have you experienced that? When Kelly finally realized what a great catch that I would be. And, you know, you should have seen me when I had hair. It even curled. We had a plate of... some of you are giving me a look like, come on. In band and orchestra, we were playing this song called What I Did for Love. And I have no idea exactly what all that song meant, but I had the trumpet solo. Woo, baby. And I knew that she kind of liked me. And I had the solo. Man, did I put on the... I'm not sure what the word is. I put the love in that song. I put the heart, man. You know? And I'd have one eye on the music and one eye on her. She's looking! La-da-da-da-da-da. There's just something about music. I mean, when you're weary and feeling whatever, I'm like a bridge over troubled waters. I will ease your mind. Right? That's not in the hymnal, by the way. There's just something about music. And you don't have to be a gifted singer. By the way, look at verse 13. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise if they had lessons. Let him sing praise if they're on the top 40. Let them sing praise if they're on the worship team. You know what the worship team is? Every one of us. He just blanketly, imperatively commands. That probably was a horrible sentence in English, but that's what I said. Sing! Now, you know what song just popped in my head? Sing, sing a song. Remember that one? Sing out loud, sing out strong. Don't worry if it's not good enough for anyone else. You remember that song? Just sing. Well, there you go. So you don't have to be gifted. This, have you ever thought about that? How many of you have ever confessed your sin to God that you don't sing to Him? Woo! It's a command. And I've read several Greek scholars, and I agree with the context of this letter, where you could take these two things and flip them around. Look at 13. Is any among you suffering? Sing. Is anyone cheerful? Is anyone among you cheerful? Pray. Now listen, when somebody's suffering, you don't go up to them and start singing, okay? That's not what he's saying here. That's bad. You know, somebody, suffering greatly, you know, you don't walk up to them and sing with me. Praise the Lord. You know, there's several scriptures that talk about wisdom in what you're saying. This is talking about us when we're suffering. But I think you can flip those around. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are where? In jail. And at midnight, what did they do? Sang and praised God. And who was listening? All the thieves and the murderers and the crooks and all that. And they're in there singing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know what they were singing. But just singing probably the psalms they were singing. Because they were suffering. When Jesus took his disciples to the upper room, and he's basically telling them, I am going to die. They are going to kill me, and one of you is going to betray me. Is it me? Is it me? Is it me? Is it me? And he's just a few hours from going through that horrible time in the garden and the betrayal and the beatings. You know what they did before they left to go do that? They sang a song. Jesus sang in the grieving and the hardness and the terrible time of life, because that's why he came. He sang. And you know what how the world expresses its heart? In song, right? The world expresses its heart and desires in song. And they just put it out there, do they not? They don't care. You know what? They stole that from God. And we should not let them steal that from God and His people. Because music can portray what's going on in your heart. And James says, you must sing. Singing individually. In the car, in your house, in the shower, in the bath. Of course, some of us are like green eggs and ham. I do not like to sing. I do not like sing Sam I Am. I will not sing with a fox. I will not sing with a box. I will not sing in the car. I will not sing when I'm opening a jar, I don't know. Listen, I kind of know some of you probably can't carry a tune. Yeah, I'm sorry. But God doesn't care, right? Sing to me. Express the burdens of your heart. When your heart is hurting, it is well with my soul. Wow. When you're longing for the future with Jesus, sing out, I shall rise. When He calls my name, no more sadness, no more pain. I will rise. I love that chorus we sing. If you say go, we will go. Woo! Right? Is your goosebumps going? Goosebunks? If you got goosebumps, I'm sorry. But if you're... Man, when I first heard that song, if you take us to the fire, we'll look for you. If you call us out to walk on the water, we'll look for you. And we'll go, we'll go, we'll go. And if you say go, we'll go. If you say stop, we'll stop. Boy, that just gets my heart going. Wow. So you want to express your longing to follow Jesus. If you say go, I will go. If you say wait, I will wait. If you say, step out on the water, and they say it can't be done, lift our eyes to you, and we will come. You see, sometimes people put things in words that can express our heart that we who are not poetically gifted, I mean, your poem is probably your love letters to your girlfriend. Roses are red, violets are blue. If you ask your mom, I'll come over and see you. Something like that. But other people, you know, they're just, yes, I tried that one. No. But God has gifted some people to put these things down that we can steal and use. I love that new thing, we've just learned. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my life. Speak what is true. I love in Christ alone. It talks about, you know, who Jesus is and his death. And then that last verse, you know, and you just want these drums to kind of start slow and get louder and louder. Then bursting forth in glorious day. That wasn't in there, but up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. Wow. I hope when you sing those, your heart just burning within you. And can it be that I should gain? And we just go on and on. And one of your new assignments for this week is to pick one of your favorite songs and hymns and or choruses and bring in the lyrics and share it with your group and share why it means something to you. And I know each generation expresses its heart in its own kind of music. And I'll be the first one to admit, I don't necessarily appreciate some of those. But I can't appreciate the truth and the Jesus they love. I'll be honest, I don't get rap. You know, and I know there's Christian rap and, you know, listen, they can, I'm okay. They can express their heart to God like that, but I just have a heart to, Jesus is Lord. You know, I can't rhyme words that fast. I'm back to roses are red. Roses are red. Rabbits are blue. But you know what? God didn't give me the authority to say that's wrong. As long as the words are biblical. So each generation expresses this. I heard one man say that years and years ago, they expressed songs with shipwrecks and lighthouses. Well, now obviously with the cruise lines, we have shipwrecks these days, don't we? But he said people ought to write songs about airplanes crashing. Because that's our culture, right? About computers crashing. Now, I know that's a little far-fetched, but do you get the idea? Each generation can obey James 5:13. Let God know what's going on in your heart. And through music, Ephesians talks about it. Colossians talks about it. Don't be afraid to express in your heart music. Now, it should never replace preaching and teaching and scripture, but oh, is it powerful. I remember one day in college, in Bible college, which is a whole nother life on its own. You're in constant pressure, constant trial, constant tired, constant. It's just a very pressure-packed time. But when you're done, you look back and go, wow, that's pretty cool. I remember going into chapel one day, and a young guy who could get on your last nerve, he knew where your nerve was, and the last one, he'd step on it. He just was an unusual guy. But that day in chapel, he sang a song written from Psalm 139. And I remember going in there. I don't remember who spoke that day. I don't remember anything about it, but I remember him singing that song. If I can remember it. I will ride the morning winds, and you are there. I can sail the highest seas, and you are there. I can find the darkest night, and you are there, O Lord. I can never be lost from you. I'm sitting out there in chapel just thinking, yeah, the darkest night, the highest winds, the biggest wave, you're there. Wow. They just flooded my soul. I am going to keep going on because that's my God. You know, the Psalms are an amazing book. I'm going to read a couple of them. Psalm 148, not necessarily every verse. But. And I think with a lot of us, we grew up in churches, and it was very, what's the word? Somber, there you go. And that's okay. We can't dictate how anybody worships. I don't think God gives us that privilege. It's just being spirit and truth. And sometimes it can be hard for us to express our heart in a church service or individually because we kind of grew up and we're used to everything being real, you know, just kind of. But then we can go to a concert and we can be, but in church. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. You may exit the building now. And it's not that bad. Just by way of illustration. And that's me. That's me. Listen to some of these things. Psalm 140, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him all His angels. Praise Him all His hosts, His armies. Praise Him sun and moon. Praise Him all you shining stars. Praise Him you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the deeps, the fire, the hail, the snow, the mist, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. When it storms, do you say, there, that storm is praising the God who created it? When it snows, are you praising the God who let the heavens bring forth the snow? Mountains and hills and fruit trees and cedars and beasts and livestock and creeping things and flying birds and kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and rulers of the earth, young men, maidens together, old men and children. Uh-oh. Now, old men and children. And I might add in every single living being in between, right? So you can't say that, well, I'm old. And my voice cracks. I'm old. I'll never forget Edith. Remember Edith? You know, and I'll tell you, it'd be testimony time. And I used to be able to kind of do her pretty good, not out of any making fun, but I just enjoy kind of doing voices. But maybe I shouldn't try. But you remember how she could barely talk? And she was heard the Psalm 148. Praise the Lord in the heavens. And praise Him in the... Oh, I love Jesus. And the whole congregation is going, oh, my God. Oh, God, thank you, right? Awesome. Here's somebody who can barely talk. She called me on the phone, Brother Tim, can you come over here? My cat is sick. I'll be right there. And she could barely talk, but what'd she do with what she had? Praise God. Let's throw this top 40 Christian garbage in the garbage. I don't like that at all. Never does a scripture say, well, I want to be number one song. Well, I want to be number two. And I hear some of these singing groups, hey, praise God, we're number five on the charts. Big deal. Where did we ever, wow, talk about self, self, self. How about I will serve Jesus and sing with my voice. Sing with my voice. Psalm 149, again, just praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. Praise Him in the assembly. Praise God. Be glad in your Maker. Let them praise His name with dancing, making melody to Him with the tambourine and the lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Psalm 150. Praise God in His sanctuary, the mighty heavens, His mighty deeds, His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the trumpet. Hallelujah. Praise Him with the lute, the harp, the tambourine, the dance, the strings and the pipe, sounding cymbals. And I get this. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Whew. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. That's amazing. I have an assignment for you. I want you to write your own song this week. I want you to come in here next week and sing it for us. I've written my own songs before. In the car, usually, when nobody's listening. Just sing them out. And you'll pull up to a stoplight and that person will look next to you and go, hey, look, kids, look over there. And you're going, and they're honking at you because you're stuck at the red light, not going. What'd they do after God swept the Egyptians back into the Red Sea? Moses wrote a song, didn't he? You know what he said? Praise God, the horse and its rider has fallen into the sea. That was real deep, wasn't it? There was more to it than that, but this is what God did. And then Miriam took, I think, her tambourine or something again and just started leading the songs, and everybody's just, horse and rider fell into the sea. They're dancing around. I'm tempted to go, stop it. Stop it. God has just done an amazing thing. Sing. Numbers 21, verse 17 and 18, they came to the water in the well and they sang about the well. Thank you, God, for the well. Thank you for the water. It makes me feel so good and we're not dry in our throat. Now listen, that's a dumb song, but sing, just make it up. Now that wasn't what they sang. In Judges 5, 1 to 31, after the evil king was killed, they broke out in song. After David killed the giant, 1 Samuel 18, what did the lady sing? Remember that song? Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. I don't know how it went, but they broke out in song. 2 Chronicles 20, the same thing. God, they sang before the battle, and God defeated the enemy. And the Psalms over and over, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. I'm amazed in Revelation. You know what we're going to be doing in heaven? Memorizing doctrine. We're going to be singing. Revelation 15:3. The seven angels with the seven plagues. It says the wrath of God is finished. And also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Moses has a song. Jesus, the Lamb, has a song. Great and amazing are your deeds, is the song. O Lord God, the Almighty, just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. And in Revelation 5, that great scene. The elders fell down before the Lamb, and each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense. Verse 8, which are the prayers of the saints. Isn't that interesting? James says, pray when you're suffering. Here are prayers of people who are suffering, and many of them killed and beheaded, and God's holding them, just like the little lamb in between the legs. There's the praying. Here's the singing. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take this scroll and to open its seals. Why? For you were slain by your blood. You ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. And they shall reign on the earth. Then John writes, then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. Can you picture that? Hundreds and hundreds of thousands around this throne. You just look out. And what are they singing? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. Wow. Now listen. You can't sound much worse than having a bunch of dirt on you, right? And again, I'm a little silly there. But and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and they worshiped. Worship. James says, are you suffering? Is your life hard? What's your burden about today? What is the burden on your heart today? Who are you concerned about? Who are you troubled about? Who literally are walking over a trap door, and if they died, they'd be in hell. What are you concerned about tomorrow? Next week. Are you personally suffering? Physical? Is your heart just burdened with pain? Is there a pain in your heart? You don't even know why it's there. Some people have to live with that. Are you prone to depression? Are you prone to melancholy, as it used to be called? We also call it in our day bipolar, which means for a time you're sailing, and then for a time you're wah. I don't use those terms, but I think the emotions are real. Are you prone to just being a quitter? Are you broken in your heart because you have no time for God, but you have time for Facebook and games? And let's just go down the list. What do you do about it? What do you do about it? You know what James says? Let him pray. It's hard to get alone in our day and pray, isn't it? I've tried it. It's hard. You can find a remote place, and sure enough, some other guy's going to, bozo's going to come park next to you. You know? You may have to dig a big 10-foot ditch, tornado shelter. And everything in our world today fights against us praying, doesn't it? I think I've decided this week that I have to keep my computer off until I'm done in the scriptures as far as in praying. And my phone. Because if my little computer goes bing and I hear it, oh, there's a need. Everything fights against us, and Satan's just going, they're so busy. I love computers. I love Facebook games. I love having God's people try to defeat the Emperor Zorg on the computer game. And when we defeat the Emperor Zorg, gosh, we're so happy. Oh, got 10 more points. I'm dead. Listen, you can do what you want. I'm not. You know me. You can do what you want. I'm just saying that in our culture, it seems like so many things stop us from getting alone and saying, God, my heart is hurting. And also, I really think we trust doctors more than Jesus. I am convinced that Jesus Christ can heal the deepest of depressions, the deepest of what our world calls bipolar, the deepest of discouragement. I am convinced when a person obeys and follows Jesus and prays, and even if some of those pains stay, they can glorify God and serve Jesus even in the pain. David Brainerd did it. Jesus did it, right? What was Jesus' life? You ever get upset because somebody don't like you? Or somebody did something wrong against you? That's our next series, by the way. Bitterness. You ever just get a little ticked off if somebody did that to you? Well, Jesus was perfect. And look what they did to him. Are you troubled? Pray. He's been there where you are. He gives you strength. And we haven't even gotten to the fact that he raises you up. And we're just going to close with this point because I don't think I have enough time, so we might have 2 more weeks of this. Do you sing? I got to tell you, there is just something about music. There is something about God honoring. I'm not talking about styles. I really think God gives us liberty in that. But I think we need to use some wisdom. And so if unbelievers walk in, they don't think we're nuts. I don't think we want to be running circles and flipping over pews and seats, but there's just something so special about music. You know, my wife, you know, when she's going around the house doing all of her stuff, you know, she turns on music and listens to music. And I almost always have music on in my office. Sometimes I have to make sure it's just instrumental if, you know, I'm studying so I don't get distracted. But there's just something powerful about music. God gave that to you. As in a way to express your heart when you're hurting, when you're thrilled, joyful. One of our elders' wives wrote me the other day and said, before they prayed, they had an hour-long jam session with music. That's pretty cool. Boy, what an amazing gift God gave us. I tell you, what a gift for God to enable me to blow a horn. Because I can pick up that horn and I can just praise God in it with nobody even listening. When I used to have my own church building, I'd go in the auditorium a lot of times and just start playing whatever song came to my head. And that's a gift God gives to some people to be able to express it. Oh, and I've had people say to me before, I could hear the words coming out of the end of your horn. Yeah. That's amazing. And sometimes I love to play songs that are quiet. And they express the low solitude of our heart. And the next verse kind of builds a little bit, which begins to show God coming through. And the next verse is like, wow, blow your horn, you know. Let it go. And let people feel the driving emotion. We can't do that. We're Baptists. I'm sorry. Jesus, help us. Right? Listen, that's me. That's me. I want to give you permission in our church that if your heart is swelling with joy, you can say amen. That just simply means I agree. That's just what it means. You can do what I do sometimes, the old head bob. Yeah. Or you can do the official, yeah. If you want to go, woohoo, you can do that. Just don't hit the guy in front of you or the girl. If you want to lift your hands, you can do that. Nobody's going to make fun of you. The Bible says, lift your hands in praise, holy hands to God. Try that sometime when you're praying. Do it first when you're by yourself. When you're praying, lift your hands. You will be amazed. You'll be amazed. And if that's your heart expression, just to draw your attention and your hands to God, or, Lord, here's my life, take it. They used to kneel down before the king, and the king could take the life without any fighting. But I want to encourage you. Pray when you're hurting, and sing when you're joyful, and sing when you're hurting, and pray when you're joyful. And I hope this week, those of you that come to community group, that you'll find a song and you'll think, "What? How has God used music in my life?" And you can get on the computer, type that song and write the lyrics down if you don't have a hymnal or a chorus, and bring that and read those words. And we might even sing it in our group if we can figure out the melody. And you might share that maybe it was at your mom or dad's funeral when this song was sung, and God just, oh, He just spoke to your heart. Or maybe He was in this great tragic trial, whatever it is. I'll just share this and then I'll close. But one of the amazing things that God has allowed me to do is preach funerals for families I never met. And because they don't have a pastor, or maybe for whatever reason. And I always love it when I ask them, now, is there any music that you've planned for the service? And sometimes they say yes, and I say, that's okay. And sometimes it's pretty good music. I mean, we've had some doozies. We've had Stairway to Heaven, and we've had Highway to Heaven, and we've had some pretty hard, heavy metal rock songs people want sung at the funeral. That's when I go to the funeral home director and say, this one's yours. And usually they can talk them out of it, because it just doesn't fit, you know, but... And I got to be honest, there's a couple of country songs that people play that I absolutely love. I'm sorry, I'm guilty. You know, one of them is, when I get where I'm going, oh my heart. Have you heard that one? No, I didn't do that song too, right? Look it up today. I don't know if that's a title. What's the title of it? When I get where I'm going, I want to see my Savior's face. Whew. Wow. You talk about a breaking heart song. So I love it when they say, you know, we haven't picked any. You know, I almost always pick the old rugged cross. And it is something to be sitting up there. And this doesn't happen all the time, because sometimes I'm with a group of people that most of them know God, but there's always unbelievers. But sometimes it's a group like this full of just unbelievers. And I'm sitting up there during the song, and here I'm praying, God, speak to their heart, open their heart, let them be aware of sin. I'm going to preach the gospel in just a few seconds, and here's this song, The Old Rugged Cross. That song comes to life. One of the verses is, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world. And there I'm looking out at people who despise that. But in song, it can just express what I'm about to share with them from the scriptures. So I hope you come this week and you're willing to share. And I hope maybe if in your heart, I am going to quit in a second, but I hope in your heart that maybe you're more reserved. That's okay. That's okay. you can worship God with a reserved heart. Please don't misunderstand. But maybe, myself included, some of us need to begin learning how to express more. As I walk, I said I was going to quit that last story, didn't I? See, that's a problem. There's no conclusion, and I've got part of the message done. We're going to be here through lunch. All right? I did walk into a church once where I was preaching, filling in, and I got to be honest, the music was so dead. Oh, my goodness. It was horrible. And I actually thought, what unbeliever would want what these people are singing about? Right? And unbelievers may walk in here and they can look at us and, wow, these people believe it. All right, I'm done. Father, we're not complete here because there's so much more in this passage, but maybe, Lord, it's good today for us to just stop and say, is my normal habit to run into the arms of grace when in trouble? And to stop and say, God, what a gift you've given us in music. And if there's anybody worth singing about, it's the throne, the Lamb on the throne. Worthy is the Lamb. And I trust as you stay in prayer, and again, you can do however you please, but maybe your eyes closed, and which kind of helps us sometimes to focus, and you'd contemplate today. Where are you at when it comes to praying? None of us will ever be where we should be, but would today before God, you might just quietly in His presence before we sing, maybe confess sin today that your normal habit is not stopping and going to the throne of grace, but you're like that little fawn and you just keep running and running and running and running, and all kinds of things come out of your mouth and all kinds of actions, and God today is showing you that He's there for you, and to help you endure in the trial and suffering is to go to the throne of grace. And maybe today, if God is speaking, don't put it off, that you just need to talk to Him about that. Maybe today that music, you've never thought about music this way before. How maybe a whole part of your life to God and worship has been missing. You haven't experienced that oneness with God and Jesus by singing to Him or reading through songs and letting them just fill your heart. And maybe today you need to talk to Him about that. And lastly, maybe today God has opened your heart to realize what a Savior He is, that this Lamb died on the cross for your sin. And before He did it, He sang a hymn to His God. And He faithfully went to the cross and died and buried and rose again. And maybe for the first time today, He's opened your heart. And you can for the first time sing a new song. Father, keep our hearts tender to this passage as we'll work on it again next week. Change us. And again, before I close in prayer, we're going to sing this song in just a second. And again, if you sense a need to come up and to get alone and pray, you can sit on a front seat. There's not a soul up here. You can, if that helps you, do that. If God's touching your heart about something, you'd like to have somebody pray with you, which is next week's message, we'll come up front and have somebody go pray with you. If you need Jesus today and you have some questions, come up front. We'll have somebody go and share that Jesus with you and answer questions. Lord, thank you for this message. I thank you for a church that wants to hear truth. I thank you for defeating Satan today as his word has gone forth faithfully. I thank you, Lord, as I wasn't feeling well, stomach was hurting. I never sensed it once during this message, and I praise you for that. And God, I ask that you would move on our hearts as we sing. And maybe as we sing, some need to pray. Have your will and your way in Jesus' name.